Hello, welcome back to another episode of Sheer Motivation Podcast. I'm your host, Delina. And before we go any further, stop, hit that like, subscribe button, share if you care, tell a friend to tell a friend. And catch us every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. So this week, I'm excited. I have my friend Maddie here. Say hello, Maddie.
Hello, guys, and thank you for the invitation.
Yes, thank you for your time. I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited, number one, to have some male energy, because a lot of topics in season one, I just had female energy, so this is exciting. Sheer Motivation Podcast is all about just unraveling the work-life hustle and giving people a different perspective, a positive perspective to think about things and make it through it, over it, around it, whatever you got to do to keep pressing forward. So, we're going to have a lot of fun. So me and Maddie, we met through a mutual friend, and we've always had like these really interesting conversations that have been passionate and just loud. And sometimes I don't know if Maddie is excited or if he's yelling at me, but either way, I found it very interesting. So this week's title of this episode is called Courtside Press. So first of all, let me acknowledge my voice is a little raspy because it's pollen season and mother pollen is winning. So if you're listening, for our listeners, that's why I sound a little different this week. Okay, so let's go back. Obviously, for our listeners and our viewers, what is your nationality?
American Moroccan.
Yeah. Amerimarkin. I had to find a way to blend those two words.
Yeah.
Amerirockin.
It's pretty common, ain't it?
Yeah, I'm meeting more and more Moroccans these days.
Yeah.
It's a joy.
Moroccan people that have been living here for a while.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Most of them, they got dual citizenships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So okay.
You're blending in the culture.
Yeah, you're blending in the culture. I like it. Okay. So, you are from Morocco.
Originally, yes.
Originally, you were born there.
Born and raised there. Moved to the U.S. when I was 20.
Okay. And so your first language is?
Arabic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I speak also French, because over there the first foreign language is French.
Mm-hmm.
And then English is the second foreign language. You can say Spanish and English.
Okay.
But people nowadays tend to go more for English than French.
Mm-hmm.
Because French is kind of limited. You know, you can use it just in college and in certain countries.
Okay. My name is French. That's what they say. That's what I've been told. I'm going to go with it. So don't tell me nothing different.
Okay.
Delina. Say it.
Delina.
Okay. You said it very Englishy. I like it. Okay. So English is your third language? You learn?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You should speak very well.
Yeah, you think?
I think, yes.
And over there is, we have more the British accent, not the American accent, because we are close to Europe.
Okay.
So we tend to go more for the British English than the American English.
Okay.
Yeah, even in the language centers and all that, we go more for the British English.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your accent is different. I like it, it's different.
It's not a British accent, but it's, you know, like someone who's speaking some languages, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So now tell me, what city in Morocco are you from?
So I was born in Rabat. It's the capital of Morocco.
Rabat?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen that on the map. Yeah. And then we lived in Hawaii, and Harhora is a city by the beach. It's near Rabat, it's like 30 minutes away.
Okay.
And then we built our house in Sale.
Okay. Now, maybe my stagehands that we're talking about this for our viewers will have a little map. Maybe I can get her to add that map. But Morocco, for those who have no visual idea, it's like, it reminds me of like the coast of California. That's what Morocco makes me think of. Yeah, like on the map. It's like the edge
north
there.
North, east of
Rabat. How do you say that? Yeah. Am I saying it right? Rabat.
Is Rabat.
That, now, is that, tell me about the culture there real quick.
In Arabic, you said Arrebat.
Arrebat.
Arrebat,
yeah. Ah, I get it. Okay.
So, we have the Atlantic and the Mediterranean.
Arrebat. Yeah. I'm learning stuff. Okay. Now, is that the culture of that city, like as far as the climate of the people, is it rough? Is it so Rabat? Is that the capital?
Yeah, it is.
That's so, the capital of Morocco?
Of Morocco, yeah.
Oh, so that's like okay. Okay.
It's like you see.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Okay, the wheels are churning.
So it's the people moving fast. It's more of an administrative city.
Okay.
You know, it's not like a tourist. I mean, there is some touristic spots, museums. There is an old Medina.
Okay.
We call it the old city.
Ah.
It's called Old Medina.
Okay.
It's where there were the old buildings back in the days. Yeah, it's more administrative. If you go to Morocco as a tourist, you would rather go to Marrakech, to Agadir. It's more stuff to see.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Rabat is like DC. You just like you go for business.
Okay, yeah. Got you. Okay, so not the hood or nothing like that.
I mean, there is popular.
I'm sure they do have little spaces of the hood, you know.
It's not like an actual hood like here.
Oh, okay.
When you say hood. You
know? That's where I'm from. Here, I'm
it's
from the
not
hood.
Like that with the old the stereotypes about the hood is bad, is the bad stuff happening and all that. It's more of a popular place where there is a lot of people. Living, and usually they are in the mid class.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nothing crazy happening in there.
Right. Not
it's
a lot
no
of crime
guns, no,
and all of that.
No. Yeah. No crime. Okay. No. It's rarely when you see some crime happening, but you see the people. There is solidarity. How do you call it? Solidarity.
Solidarity.
Between the people, there is compassion. If you hear somebody's not
right.
doing good,
so it's a place of. We're not making the money and we don't necessarily have the lifestyle, but we're not fighting each other, hurting each other. Everybody kind of looks after each other. That's kind of like the climate. Because see, okay, so I was born in Detroit. You know where that is on the map? That's like that football glove that's on the map. That's where I was born, and there's that's the hood. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the hood. It's corner stores. It's people that's drunk sometimes stumbling on by. You know,
I mean, there is
loud music in the cars, and
like I wouldn't say music in the cars because the hood in Morocco is like there is you can barely fit a car in the streets.
Very narrow. Okay.
Yeah, it's very narrow, but and there is some bad stuff happening, like you know, like you said, drugs and stuff. You know, but it's not as crazy as here.
Okay.
There is no guns. Crimes are very rare.
Okay.
And when it happens, you know, they get who did it. You know, it's just not like here, they don't even care.
Right.
Even when you call the police here, they don't even come to the hood.
Right.
You know?
Or they take forever to get to the hood.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's not like as bad as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ambulance takes a long time, too.
The ambulance in Morocco does.
Oh. I'm doomed.
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So, I grew up in Detroit. I grew up in, it was a very city-like environment, rough. But yeah, the corner stores, that's where I had my first fight. Got chased home from the bus stop, you know, and so there we live, it's a lot of apartment living, but we lived in what's called a four-family flat. So on the outside, it looks like a home. But actually, when you open up the doors, four separate apartments. And so there's bars on the doors, bars on the windows to keep people from breaking in and that sort of thing. But now, I mean, they since took the bars off of doors, a lot of doors and windows, because people were getting trapped inside in emergencies. So, but that's how I grew up. So we moved here when I was about 10. We wanted to get away from crime, okay? And so, Virginia, my mom had a brother, and so we relocated, and yeah, that's how
so
I ended up in Virginia.
So this was like a big issue.
It was a very big
issue.
Yeah, so when I was younger, I saw my mom robbed at gunpoint, and I think that's what expedited her decision to relocate. She had a brother here that lived here in Williamsburg. And so one night we came home and my mom opened the door and I went in first And the way it was a hallway, and I had to go to the bathroom. I was about 7. So down the hall to the right, there's the bathroom, and it was dark. So I come in, I'm going down the hall, I'm using the bathroom, and I could hear my mom saying, "Well, take whatever you want. Just please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt my daughter. Just please, please, please." And so I got up and peeked out of the door, looked down the hallway, and I saw a man had my mom at gunpoint. And she was trying to get me to come to her, and I just froze. I just couldn't move. You know, he looked at her, he looked at me, he looked at, you know, looked at her, looked at me. And then I don't know if he got anything, but he left. So I think that's what wanted my mom to.
Even you as a kid, that was like a life-changing experience.
Oh, yeah.
It must be shocking at that age.
It was. I think it changed the way I saw men. Because I felt like any man that could pull a gun on a woman, especially a woman with her child, like, wow, it's people out here that really don't care. That was my first introduction to realizing people really don't care.
And there are a lot of women, too, that have guns.
Well, yeah. Well, these days.
When you ask them, why do you have it, they don't came up with some reasonable reason.
I am a woman with a gun.
Just said, oh, it's for me, it's for, sometimes they say it's for self-defense, but self-defense from who?
Yeah, I'm a woman with a gun, I own a gun.
So you are with guns?
I have a gun. I have a gun that you I have with, registered.
You are with the guns in the country, or you are more of the side that want to ban guns in the country?
I want people to be able to bear arms and use them responsibly. Not because I'm angry with you and you did something to me I don't like and I want the upper hand of something.
So do you think
if you come into my home, I don't think that's what all people do, but that's how they should be used. I think that we have a right here to bear arms. Mm-hmm. And if you come into my home with the intent to take from me, whether it's my life or my possessions, I have a right to defend myself. And if it comes down to me or that person, then I want it to be that person. If you come into my home and my space and you are trying to take from me, whether it's my life or my possessions that I've worked hard for.
Understandable, but let's take in fact the idea, if this country didn't have any guns, like people could not bear arms, don't you think it will be safe?
I do think that if we take all of the guns out, right, I do think it will add a level of safety. As far as people losing their lives, there will be less people losing their lives. But I do think violence in other ways would still happen. You still have people using other weapons, baseball bats.
You would limit the violence of guns.
That is
violence
true.
Violence could come other ways, like they can come to you in the street with knife, with something else, right?
That is true.
That's not us coming with a gun.
Right.
If nobody but authorities have guns, like in Morocco or in Europe, you see, the crimes over there are pretty low.
Well, you're
and
right.
When it comes to a gun crime, the whole service is in alert. How did this gun get into the country?
Right.
You know, and they won't stop until they find out.
Right. And so here, one of our amendments is we have a right to bear arms, right?
That's
and I do think that they have gotten stricter with the gun laws. Mm-hmm. And I do think that maybe there are some ways they can be even more stricter. And I know that this specific topic is important to you because you've been in an area where bullets were flying, right?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because many, it happens, like, you got a whole other side to it. You're giving me events. Italian mafia it's right now. Yeah. You got something you want to share with me?
It's true events. It's true events where I was in that kind of situation, but I wasn't like implicated in this.
Okay.
It was just like a parking lot. Shooting. See, nobody is safe, right?
Right, nobody's safe.
Even
so far,
have nothing to do with that.
So for our listeners, right now, you guys, if you can't see him, He's a very handsome man. He has his hair slicked to one side. He's looking like an expensive piece of leather, okay? It's giving Italian, you know, he's got the nice shiny shoes, nice watch.
Italians who have the
style. It's not, but that's what I think of.
Yeah, from where we came from, from Morocco.
Okay.
It's the country of style. And we the king, the late king Hassan II, he was very stylish, and he was recognized internationally. Whenever he go, his suit nobody else had it. Nobody else wear it.
Okay.
Because it's only designed for him.
Mm.
And once he said that a man is his style, you know?
A man is his style.
So it's not always style.
Say that slow again. Say that slow and then look in the camera.
A man is his style.
Say, period. Okay, okay. And I agree. You look very nice.
Yeah, I went to, I traveled to a lot of countries. Other than the Caribbean, and when you go to Europe, when you go, for example, to the UK, when you go to France, to Spain, you see people are, you know, well-dressed, taking care of themselves. Even in Russia, when I went to Russia, you see people, even though to do their, you know, their daily life, you know, they go to get groceries or get something, you know, they are not even going for work, but they still dress that like they are.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
In a certain way.
Okay, so now you came into the U.S. when you were 20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you you're a citizen?
Yeah.
So you got that citizenship way back then?
Last year.
Oh, it's a baby!
It's like a, it's like a year ago, exactly, like February.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I know they make you take a test, right?
Yeah.
Was it hard?
I mean, if you study for it, it's not
hard. Did you study for it?
Yes.
Okay.
They give you a book.
Okay.
Give you like 3 months.
Okay.
You study history, ethics, you know, stuff like that.
Okay. And then is it expensive to take the test?
It's like $700, $725.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
So for our listeners, they may want to know that. So that's good information. Except that's a lot of money for me. $725 is a lot of money for me.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I'm a working woman. I work hard. Okay, so you got here in the 20s. So, I mean, you got here when you were in your 20s. Mm-hmm. And then you became an official U.S. citizen last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so how did it feel when you passed that test? When you saw, okay, I passed it. How did you feel?
I mean, I wasn't sure I'm going to pass it.
Oh, I like a confident man. All right, okay. Look good and confident, okay?
That's the truth.
Okay.
Like in the time, I mean, it's not the most difficult test I passed in my life.
Oh.
Maybe the easiest one because, you know, I went to school and stuff. I went through some harder tests than that.
Did you? Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, I can imagine.
It's just ethics, history. And they give you like 100 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to answer 6 words.
Okay.
And then they give you like a English sentence.
Okay.
To say or to write.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Interesting. Okay, I like. Okay, so now you come here. Did you go to school? Because you're very accomplished.
Yeah.
I know that you have your bachelor's
in economics and management.
Okay.
From Morocco, 2017. So I just
congratulations. That's a big accomplishment.
I got it, and I went to enjoy my holiday and jumped on the plane to come here.
Wow.
I didn't have any time to lose.
Yeah, you were on a move. Okay.
It just came up like a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
All my paperwork and visa were ready by, let's say, July.
Mm-hmm.
And I just enjoyed that month and I came in August.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So now, tell me, okay, so your mom and dad both still alive?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a beautiful blessing. So
yeah,
my mom is passed. She passed when I was 18.
Sorry for your loss.
Yes, thank you. And so I always love to hear people still have that relationship with. So they're in Morocco?
Yes.
Okay.
I came to visit 2 years ago and I went last year to Morocco.
Okay. Okay. So currently, Okay, it seems like you're very educated. We got that. You're very knowledgeable about things that are going on in the world. I like that. And the reason why I labeled this episode Courtside Press is because I thought, and it's a metaphor, it's a play on words, so to speak. When you're at a game, you sit courtside, you see a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. And this is just like a warm up little buffet of a lot of different topics is why I called it Courtside Press.
If you sit courtside, it's better than in the upper seats, ain't it?
That's right. And because you're right here, I get to have fun doing a little, you know, deep dive, you know, and sing. And so this, you know, next question, it's not all about relationships, but relationships in this world are very necessary. And so that's why I'll ask the next, we'll dig a little bit deeper. So currently, your relationship with your mom and dad is good?
Very good.
Okay. When's the next time they're coming to visit?
I went there last summer.
So they don't have any plans this year of coming here?
Not really, because my father want to go to France.
Oh, okay.
To see the Olympic Games.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I don't think so.
So, now I want to talk about the cultural thing in terms of, you know, obviously you're very educated. So, I know that your family was probably big on education. What about getting married and having children? Because for here in the U.S., you know, it's a thing. Like, we talk about...
Is it?
Getting married and after college. What college did you go to when you went here?
Norfolk State.
So you got a little hood in you. Okay.
This is the first college that
is
accepted my initial.
And that's okay.
You know, process fast.
And that's a historic HBCU.
Yeah.
So I like that you went there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that gives me an idea. You were around the culture, up close and personal. How was your experience at NSU?
It was good, but I didn't go to school much. I only went there for like 2 semesters at the beginning, and then COVID hit.
Oh.
We were doing online classes, and then after that, I went to school for the last semester.
Okay.
So it's just like I was there for 3 semesters, let's say 50% of the time.
Okay, but you had a good experience there.
Yeah, it was
good. Did you live on campus?
No, I didn't.
Oh, see, you
don't like to live in campus.
No, you need to get the full experience.
Not really. Experience, it doesn't come with living in campus.
I think you get the whole shebang.
You can make connections there, you can make friends, and you can hang out outside.
Do you still have friends at Norfolk State?
Yeah. Okay. A lot of friends.
Okay. Are they black, white, Asian?
Mixed.
I love it.
American, Europeans.
Okay.
From Americans, everybody.
I love that. Okay.
It's because we came from a different culture. So mm-hmm. we blend quick
mm-hmm.
with everyone.
You know, I like that.
We all have stereotypes.
That's good. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You know stereotypes.
I still have friends until now that I talked to, but they moved out mm-hmm. to other states. Actually, I have a friend of mine who's going to get married on next week on Sunday.
Are you in the wedding?
Yeah, they were invited.
But are you going to be a part of the bridal party? Because you...
Yeah.
I'm
going.
So there's 2 things. So you can go as an attendee. So here in the U.S., we have a very different way of doing weddings. So here we have the wedding party. We'll have like the groom, and he'll have like 5 or 6 groomsmen, and they'll have the bridesmaids. Are you in the wedding party? You'll stand up there and take pictures, and you'll walk down the aisle before the bride comes, or are you just attending?
So the guy is not American, he's Brazilian.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
He invited, I'm assuming he invited all his friends, and some of them will be able to come, some of them not.
Okay.
But it's good to catch up. I think it's going to be like that. I have been to an American wedding.
Okay.
Here before. It was our friend.
So you're
from Morocco.
So you're not going to be in the wedding. You're going to be attending. In the audience.
Maybe.
Unless they say, hey, get up here. Well, how does that work? I mean, do they say, come on, get up here in the last minute?
I don't
minute?
Have the details yet because I'm not there yet.
Oh, okay.
Even well, though the wedding, I was like, not attending. I was from with the...
The bridal party.
The bride.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know until last minute.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
So there's some things, some details you don't know.
Mm.
But the most important thing that you are invited, you're going to go there, you're going to meet a lot of friends mm-hmm. that you went to college with, or you met in college,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't go like to the same classes.
Okay.
It's good to catch up with old friends.
It is. It really yeah. is. Okay. So, currently, I mean, how does that, do you want to get married one day?
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, some men don't desire it. For you, you say obviously, but some men may not desire it.
I don't hear a lot about marriage in America.
So they don't press the issue?
Like, people here, they don't have the idea of, you know, getting to know their partners and then things get serious and, you mm-hmm. know, obviously you get engaged and mm-hmm. then you get married. People here, most of them, I wouldn't say all of them, most of them, they don't have the idea, the clear idea of getting married.
Mm.
They say, oh, I don't want to have to split my money with, in case something happened.
So I asked you, I said, do you want to get married? You said, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it is a desire to one day have yeah. your person.
You know, get married with the family.
Okay, it's okay.
Life goal.
Okay, so currently, are you single?
Yeah.
Ladies, he's single.
I just went on a date. Last week.
Oh, okay. So, mm-hmm. this is interesting.
Yeah.
So, I want to hear. Because you're from Morocco and mm-hmm. your early years and traditions can be somewhat different from the U.S. traditions and customs. And so, it's always interesting to just know how those experiences are for a man, but especially a man that didn't grow up here. So, so you go on the first. So first off, there's a lot of chatter online about how much to spend on a first date. Some people think, yeah, if you've been paying attention to social media,
there's a debate about who is going to pay on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of the question.
Yeah, I mean, so for the lady that's watching this, you know, I just kind of want to give her a visual, just your idea of what, you know, what a first date, you know, with you is like. So do you have an amount that you are not willing to go over? I mean, because this is a big controversial topic.
I don't think so. I mean, first date, it's up to the man. He plans, he invites, he pays.
Ladies, we need to go Arabat. We need to go there and recruit busloads of men and bring them over here.
You know, this is where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's men take care of the woman. That's the thing. I mean, here in the US, I started learning about some people talking about, we split the check in the first date and...
I know, it's so silly.
Some they let the woman pay, mm-hmm. and, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of talk about this, but this comes from a culture. I mean, with total respect to the American culture, I know a lot of people who go on first date and split the check.
Mm.
You know?
I've heard some people say,
oh, I forgot my wallet or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like some chili stuff.
I think this is the part of the podcast where stagehands will probably use some sound effects. So let's recap. So you said, it is the man that invites. Well, let's back
up. Plan.
Oh, plan.
Yeah.
I like
you
that.
Have to plan. You know, pick the right spot.
But yes. Yeah,
pick the right spot, the right vibes, you know?
Oh, okay, spot, yeah. Vibe. I think we'll get some sound effects.
And then you invite the person you are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on a date.
Okay, and yeah. So the idea...
See how it goes.
Right, and I think people spend a lot of time getting caught up into this concept of how much something costs. And the idea should be to go have great conversation, see and get to know, you know, how this person is, and you're building to see, okay, can I see myself spending more time with this person?
True, but it's all about picking the right spot to have that conversation. And you wouldn't pick McDonald's to go on a first
date. It's some men here that'll pick McDonald's,
or
Maddie.
Some fast food place.
It's some men here that'll pick a fast food place.
For me, that's not the right thing to do.
And for me, it ain't the right thing to do either. I'm glad we agree on that.
Pick some nice restaurant, you know, or if you want to do something like some activities, maybe go play golf, like Top Golf or something. It's a cozy place. You can play, you can sit, you can eat, you can talk.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something to do. Some activity,
like that.
Or if you just want to chill and talk and, you know, get to know the person, just go to a restaurant.
Okay, and I like that concept of that. And I like the fact that you have that concept, and there's so many men here that still haven't caught up. So hopefully they'll listen to this and you guys will catch up. So that is the right idea. So now, with this, you pick, you plan, you go to a nice place. Is there the expectation that you guys should sleep together after this?
Technically, there should be no expectation. It's not like you paid for the first date that you're going to end up, you know, sleeping together.
Right.
That's why the people, they go to cheap places or they go to fast food, to McDonald's or something.
Right.
Because he doesn't know, oh, maybe something gotta happen or maybe not. Because they don't have that idea that they are interested in the person. They go, they meet the person, they see how they think, the mentality, you know, what they do in their lives and all that. They don't want to know the person. They say, oh, I'm going, I'm not trying to spend money, I'm just trying to spend the bare minimum. If he decides to pay, obviously, some people don't even pay. So,
if he said, I'm paying this,
if something happens, it's fine. If not, it's fine, you know?
Right, okay.
So, it's the idea about what's his idea about going on that date.
Okay.
So, it's not, yeah, you're paying, you get this. This is business.
We're
not talking about business, we're talking about vibes.
That's right. You know, I like that.
About connection, chemistry.
Connection, chemistry.
You cannot
chemistry.
Buy that with money.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think the ladies might be falling in love with you on this episode.
Because,
I mean, you know, yeah.
You can go on a date and you can still compare, and there is no connection.
Right.
You don't feel it.
Right.
You don't get that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like the date could be $50, it could be $100, it could be $200. It could be a beautiful picnic in the park with a beautiful picnic basket. Maybe over time you guys have been talking, there's a certain kind of wine and fruit and stuff that she likes. It's a nice sunset vibe. You know, after that, you know, I just think that can be a date, you know, and you may spend $120 on that, but it's time to talk. You get to see the scenery, the water. I also think a nice date could be a dinner at a great restaurant and, you know, that type of thing. But I agree with you there. I think people get caught up into the expectation of something happening afterwards and feeling like, well, I'm not gonna risk it all and take her there. I'll just take her to this place.
Because the initial idea wasn't going on a date, enjoy, have fun, you know, get to know the person. The idea was, I'm going to pay for this to get this.
So have you ever had a woman ask you out on a date, or do you prefer to do...
No.
You've never had a woman ask you out on a date? How would you feel? Because on season one, there was an episode that I had with my dear friend Tina, and we were just talking about just the differences. Not that it's wrong or right. I mean, me personally, I feel like men are hunters. They're providers. They're leaders. Men are very clear about what they want and what they don't want. If it's a woman they're not attracted to and they don't want her, they're clear and firm on that.
You're okay.
Right.
You're that right.
Exactly. So I feel like men should be the one to pursue. And I feel as though we women should allow them to pursue. And so I've never asked a man out on a date, like a man like, oh, he's attractive. Let me go. So what's your name? You know, and I've never done that.
This is only YouTubers and celebrities who do these things.
You think so? Well, no, I think there are
YouTubers. They go and they do these videos, like they go ask girls numbers and...
Well, I think there are some bold...
Some of them are women.
So because I think there are some very bold women who do go out and will see a man.
Just doing it for fun. I don't think it's real.
No, it exists. I'm here to tell you. Okay. I'm here to tell you that it does
because
exist.
Because I've been watching some videos. They just she do the video just to test how many people and she can get.
In that instance, that probably was the case. Like, she probably was doing that. But I've had conversation with men before. Mm-hmm. I have a very good friend that I went to school with, and we talked about this topic. And he said that he actually likes it when women approach and pursue. And I think, he couldn't give me a reason, but I think it takes the pressure off of him being rejected.
I mean, you can pursue, but you cannot ask.
Mm-hmm.
A man who respects himself, he shouldn't allow that, right?
I agree.
I mean, you go, you talk, you know, if you want to take that person on a date, you ask her. It's just like you said, straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no games, there is nothing.
Right.
You know, you contact the person, you've been talking for a minute, you feel some type of connection, you know, you are interested. She is interested. She can give you signs that she's interested. You gotta pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't pick up on that, which means...
But that's what I was saying, why I think some men like women to approach them, because then that part of the work that you describe...
I mean, I think they don't have that confidence in themselves to go and ask the woman out.
Okay, so for me, I personally don't prefer to go up and pursue a man. I believe, and I've said it a lot of times, and I've said it before, I believe that men are natural born providers, hunters, protectors. They know what they want, and they know what they don't want, and it's very clear. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that me personally going up to a nice looking man, I'll give him eye contact,
so
I'll smile.
This is giving unattractive vibes for you, right?
Right. Okay. I will give.
And
I will.
So you'll be waiting for somebody for a while to ask you out, and he didn't. You just gotta
keep it
walk
pushing.
Away.
Keep it pushing. Right. So I had this conversation with a friend of mine from high school, and he said, "Well, I like when a woman is aggressive and assertive, and she, you know, if you." So he's like, "You mean to tell me if you're at the bar and you see a nice looking man and he looks over, you know?" And I gave this example season one, and I said, "Hold on," and I said, "Well, I'm gonna make myself approachable. I'm gonna smile, give eye contact."
That's what we call you giving signs.
But what
and
I'm saying,
you give, you let him do lead,
and
you know?
Some men don't like the work that it takes to wait on that process and read that process.
That just shows inconfidence and not attractiveness.
So you believe that a man that doesn't take that initiative and step up may be lacking some sort of confidence.
Yeah, he's not putting it himself. And even that one, the men who just I like it when a woman come and approach me and all that. That one, he just need approval. Maybe he doesn't get much approval.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody came up to him, he's just feeling himself
right
a little bit, you know.
I agree. So speaking of approval, men like what they like. They want what they want, and you know they're very clear on what they will and will not dabble in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So typically, what kind
not
of
all of them?
Oh, some just do the dabbling for sport.
Some people are not. What they're saying.
Okay.
They are saying some people are, you know, they pretend something, they pretend they are somebody, but they are not.
Right.
You know?
So, what type of women do you typically go for? What type of women do you pursue?
According to my dating experience, I've been more into Europeans.
When I think European, I think white.
Yeah.
Okay, so you like white women?
European women. Because there is...
We'll go with white.
White American, there is white from... I don't know.
White is white, is white is white.
From the world. There is white everywhere, right?
There is.
Okay, so it's... When I say Europeans, I say from a geographic place.
Yeah, they originate and relocate.
There is white women in Africa, too.
If I date Moroccan, that doesn't mean... you're still Moroccan.
I am.
Just because you're here, I mean, they're European. I mean, they're still white. They just relocated.
True, but I don't think it's a matter of white or not, because even Moroccans, oh, they are not white.
So you like the authentic?
We are not Africans. The ethnicity is, mm-hmm. we are not Africans, Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
We are not white.
Right.
Even though we might look like light skinned, some of us look like more white.
You do.
When you go south, there is black people, mm-hmm. Moroccan black people.
That are darker.
Darker, and there is even mm-hmm. black.
Okay.
You know?
Right. So, you like white women. Mm-hmm. Now, so have you ever dated a black woman?
No.
Latina?
Sort of. It was mixed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't a good experience, to be honest.
It wasn't? Why? Was she too sassy?
She did some stuff I didn't like.
Okay, she did some stuff you didn't like. Yeah. Well, we don't want her to be doing stuff you don't like, Maddie.
I mean, it's just some stuff that you agree on at the beginning doesn't happen.
Okay. So, yeah. Tell me, when was your last relationship? We get into the good stuff.
5 months ago.
5 months ago?
Yeah.
Who broke up with who?
So it just, it was
a mutual decision? You both kind of came to a place?
It's just like we didn't broke up. We took a break and then we came back together and we tried. And then it didn't work out.
Okay. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah, life.
You still think about her?
No.
See, isn't that something? When men are done with something, they done with it. Just, you know, now you're out there just dating them.
You don't have time to keep thinking. You gotta move forward. You know?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So are you currently in love with anyone now?
Not in love, but I just said I went on a date.
You did? So how was the date?
It was cool.
Yeah, you smiling. Cool. That's a good sign.
It was fun.
Okay, where'd y'all go?
We went to the Becca restaurant in Virginia Beach.
Okay, in Virginia Beach. In okay. Area. And you said, what is it called? Becca?
Becca.
Yes. B-E-C-C-A?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What kind of food they have there?
Pretty much everything. Seafood, steaks, salads.
And I'm to believe you pay for the date, right?
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have to make sure just that you say what you mean and mean what you say.
Yeah.
So you pay for the.
If you need proof, I got it too.
Oh, watch out now. Okay. Okay, because you make good money. You work. You a hard working man.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, how often are you going out on dates?
Like I said, if I am interested in a person, I go out on a date with them and see how it goes.
Okay.
So,
now
I would say this is the second date I went to since then.
Okay.
So,
that's pretty. Now, when that relationship ended, did you go through a period of heartbreak? I want to know, is it the same for men and women?
Really, no heartbreak for me, because we took a break and we talked about some stuff and mm-hmm. then we got back together and it didn't work out. That's it. There is no heartbreak.
So there was no.
There is more of a rational decision.
Okay.
You know?
So you took
it's
your.
It's not working out, it's just a waste of time. That's it.
You know what? So you were able to make that decision, take your emotion out of it, and make a rational decision about this relationship isn't.
This is somebody who respects themselves. You know, you just see something that it's not working out. That's mm-hmm. it. You gotta make a decision. You are not going to play games.
We're not going to
play games.
There
are some people who like to play games. They are free like that. They just like to play. You know, I don't do that. I don't have time for that.
I like that. He said we are not going to play games.
You gotta be straightforward about something.
Mm-hmm.
And
look at the camera once I said we are not going to play games.
We don't play games.
No, you can't say it smiling like that. You gotta be like you from Rabat.
No, it's not from that. It's just any man who respects himself. If something is not working out, you gotta make a decision. That's it.
Right.
If you wanna play games, you can, but the only people who have time for that.
The DMs is gonna be going crazy because these women gonna be like, I don't want to play games. I want you, baby.
Because
listen, he playing for dates and he planning stuff and he's not here to play games, okay?
Yeah, because you are 100% invested in that relationship and it didn't work out. What do you expect?
I like that.
You can.
It's very 110%.
Simple. 110%.
See, men are very simple creatures. I think we make it more complicated than what it needs to be, and you're right about that.
And some people, they don't even communicate. You know, communication is key in a relationship.
It is.
Yeah.
Respect communication too. Is two parts, though.
Communication, there is respect.
And there's listening.
Yeah, you gotta listen. You gotta sit in a table, around the table, so, and talk about
that is
some
true.
Issues or concerns you might have.
Okay, so now I want to tap into, you know, you typically go for the European.
It's not typically going.
I feel like that's what I got.
I vibe well with those people.
With white women.
It's with Europeans. It's just because from where I came from, it's just our cultures are close.
You're from the motherland of black women. You ain't dated no black women?
It's North Africa.
Is that what I'm saying?
It's not black. It's black.
It's a lot of black beautiful black women in Africa.
In Africa? North Africa is a different thing.
But you travel, you're cultured.
France and... That's why we are what we are now.
I'm just saying, you've traveled, your culture, you're from the motherland, even though you might be from North Africa still. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, I'm just curious. Would you ever date a black woman?
I mean, I cannot say I would or I would not. It's just, it's time. It's timing.
Okay.
You know? Sometimes you met the right person and you don't even know.
So you're open. So you would be open.
Yeah, I mean, it's about timing. You know, it's vibes. It's vibes. If you vibe well, then you can.
Okay. So, this dating process now, I'm going to bring it home to, at what point do you introduce this person to your family? If at all.
When you are going to get married.
So in your culture, traditionally, the woman that you've dated, you've spent time, maybe you guys have been together for 2 years, and I'm just throwing 2 years out there.
When you're going to,
you're living
with
this woman,
serious, and you're going to get engaged with someone, obviously you gotta tell your family I'm getting engaged. You know, you gotta tell your family too, right?
I mean, I think if you're living together and it's serious enough for you guys to be living together, you've been together for about 2 years.
It's not about living together. You can just not live together, but you are
serious
about each
other.
Well,
I'm just marking it with those milestones.
Yeah, you are serious about somebody, and then you gotta engage with them, and you gotta tell your family, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be how it goes.
And then after a couple of months, whatever, you get married, right? That's how it works.
A couple months. I guess it would depend on where you are in that relationship. Your last relationship that you...
So you get engaged today and you get married next week? That's what you're trying to say? I mean, it could happen.
It could happen. It could. I've heard Stranger Things.
It's not.
I mean, typically here in the U.S.
Because you just need time to prepare.
The dating phase
prepare
here...
Prepare for the wedding. Prepare for, you know... Where location. People, family that will come.
So in your culture, your family doesn't meet the woman that you're dating until you guys are engaged and actively planning the wedding.
Yeah, because technically, engagement is different from here than from in Morocco. Engagement is just you tell your parents that I'm interested in this girl, I wanna get engaged with her. And they go to her family and ask for her hand.
Okay.
That's engagement. Mm-hmm. Here is different. You can just engage without all this.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But they do like to meet your family. You know.
I mean, it works both ways.
Yeah, it does. It works both ways.
And it's the same outcome.
Okay, so the engagement period is, you know, in the courting phase and all of the things, there are some similarities and some differences. So here, it is not really maybe 100% necessary for the husband to go, but they do that. They do, if the bride has her family, it is natural for the man to get with the dad and say, is it okay if I take your daughter's hand in marriage? I mean, tradition, it is that way.
This is how you value the woman, right?
Yeah. I mean, you do want her blessing.
From her family, her dad and mom.
Yeah, you want the family's blessing, you know? Right. And so.
And it's a party.
Right,
you tell her family, you come in and you come with gifts, flower, whatever. And you go and you sit, you have dinner together. It's a party.
Right, in your culture. And I get that. And that's beautiful. But here, what I'm saying is the family will meet the potential partner before just the engagement period.
You can.
Yeah, okay. So did you introduce your ex to your family when they came here?
No.
Oh. And you guys were together for how long?
For a couple months back then.
So each time your family came here, they did not meet her because you had just gotten together with?
We were together for like, what, 3-4 months?
Oh, okay. So the timing. So
timing.
How long did you spend in your last relationship?
All together? It's like 3-4 months and then... And then 4 months out, not in the relationship.
So you were in and out and in
for,
and out?
No, just twice it happened. We were together for like 3-4 months and then not together for 4 months and then together for a couple months.
So y'all was only together in total a few months?
And then 3 months, I would say, in the beginning.
And then
from March to...
Total time met. See, this is how men be doing. Look at, he over here counting and carrying the one
like
and moving
6-7 months.
So total time
like
y'all were together?
Like
a year?
Not even a year? A year and
because
a month.
I did some interesting research and the timeline that I got was y'all was together for almost 2 years.
No.
It's interesting.
Like a year and a month, something like that.
Okay. So, and during that time, you've never thought about introducing her to your parents?
There is a thought, but then with everything that happens, it makes you doubt.
Okay. So, yeah. Somewhere, okay.
You cannot, like, you know, tell your parents about somebody that you have doubts about, right?
Right.
Because anything could go wrong.
So how do you go about calculating this breakup?
It's not calculation. It's timing. It's clear. Fact.
Y'all got together, broke up, got back together, broke up. And the total time you spent in the relationship was maybe a year.
Yeah. A year and a month, a year, something like
that. Okay. Interesting. Mm. Okay. So what's next for you, Maddie? You're dating, you're living, enjoying life. What's next for you? What are you about to do in the next few months? What's the short-term goal you have?
I just applied for a master's degree in sports management.
Oh,
yesterday.
Okay, that's exciting.
I initially applied for a PhD, but they had limited spots.
Okay.
For it, and they couldn't get a favorable decision.
Okay.
So I went for another master's. This is applied yesterday.
Okay, well that's exciting. Okay. So in your last relationship, did you take her back home to Morocco?
Yeah.
Because I see you like to travel.
For a couple days.
You love to travel. I notice you have a lot of traveling photos. For people that want to find you on Instagram, where do they go find you at?
I can give you the username.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's your Instagram name?
It's MEHDIELOUADNI.
Okay. Okay. Because you love to travel. You take some really cool pictures and stuff like that. When you travel back to Morocco, did you ever take your ex-girlfriend home to Morocco and show her around? And
yeah, for a few days. For like 4 days.
When she was there, you didn't stop and visit your parents or family or anything?
We were traveling road trip all over.
She came all the way there and no time to stop and introduce.
This is when you get back with someone and you, it's not the right time to introduce someone to your family. You are not sure yet about that.
Did she ask about? Did she ask about meeting your family? And did you guys ever have a conversation about meeting your mom or your dad? Or
we had this was not a conversation. We had that when we were breaking up.
Not when you were in Morocco?
No.
I feel like you're lying to me. I feel like you're lying to me.
I'm not. Why would I?
Oh, okay.
Do I look like a liar?
No. Okay. No. But it looked like you may be rearranging some events.
Rearranging?
Uh-huh.
Like what?
Like, I mean, I'm sure that you went, I would think, if we went all the way to Morocco, we've been together for a year, even though we had some rocky.
For a year.
Oh, at that time you were okay. So at that time it wasn't for.
And we were just coming back from the break.
So okay.
There's a lot of things, a lot of emotions involved, a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, got you. Okay. So now I understand.
Look, bottom line, you introduce someone to your family that you are 100% sure that you're going to, you know, carry on your life with them.
Okay.
And you're not going to introduce somebody you have doubts about.
And in that time, in that space, there were some doubts there. There were things that happened and you weren't 100%
sure.
Yeah,
it's a lot of things that make you think twice about some stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So it's all about timing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just past. Let's talk about the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Matt said he is off the hot seat. Mm-hmm. He said he's going on dates and applying for master programs and all of the things. So you apply for the program, sports management, you said?
Yes.
Ah, that's exciting.
It is indeed, yeah.
Okay, and so how long is that program?
I think it is a year or two.
And what do you plan to do with that if you get that under your belt? What do you plan to do with it?
I'm more interested in sports, and with that degree, you know, you can get like some sort of expertise.
Okay.
You know, in the field and maybe get a position in that sense.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so for the home run here, here at Sheer Motivation Podcast, we're always encouraging people to have a different perspective of things, untangle the work-life hustle. And one of the things that we promote is our walk with God, our faith, things of that nature. And so, checking in, I know this is a Ramadan. How's fasting going?
Cool. It's fine.
I mean, you sure?
Yeah, positive.
Okay, is it hard for you to fast? Tell people what Ramadan is.
You just get used to it.
Because here, Sheer Motivation Podcast, we respect all religions. I personally identify with being Christian. I'm familiar with fasting.
So you guys are fasting too, right?
We fast. There's different periods of fast. We may do
like a 55 days.
There's different fasts. It's different fast. The particular church home that you belong to may decide to do a sweets, junk food, and social media fast. They may do a soda fast.
So it's actually what the religion says.
What does the religion say? Yeah. About fasting.
Some Orthodox Christians, they fast for 55 days.
There's not
and
a.
And they have their Easter like next month.
So our Easter is today. Today is Easter. And there's different. I know growing up, we did a 30 day fast. I grew up in Church of God in Christ and we did a 30 day fast. And there was a period during the day where you didn't eat until.
I think you're free from eating meat, right? From eating meat, I think.
Yeah, well, growing up when I was in church, there was, you know, I was younger, so it wasn't a requirement of mine. But tell people what Ramadan is and how it all works.
Ramadan is usually 29 or 30 days of fasting from sunrise to sunset.
From sunrise to sunset.
It's also a month where you get close to God, you pray, and, you know, you ask for forgiveness.
Okay. So, from sunrise to sunset, this is a dry fast?
Fast from everything.
Okay.
No drinking, no food, nothing.
Not even a piece of gum?
No gum, no nothing. No smoking.
No smoke, okay. And so...
For people who smoke.
And so how far in Ramadan are you now? How long has it been going on, and how long do you have left?
It's the 21st day, I think, today.
Okay.
I think we have 9 days left.
9 days left. And have you been praying?
Yeah.
So do you wake up?
I was in the mosque yesterday.
Ah, you was in the mosque yesterday. Yeah. Okay. And how long, when you go there, is you go there for an hour? Is it 2 hours? How does it work?
It depends how many, we call them rak'at, mm-hmm. you catch. So yesterday when I went to catch six, the last six.
Okay.
It's usually a prayer of four and then eight rak'at after. They call them charaweeh.
Okay.
In Ramadan. So I did the four by myself and then I catched six with them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you feel closer? Do you feel more connected?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not all about fasting. It's a lot of things mm-hmm. that goes with it.
Okay, give me the top three.
Top things is, let's say you fast and you don't pray, you go out, you cuss people, and you know, you do bad things. You're just looking at not doing nothing.
So Ramadan is like pressing the reset button. To go a period without fasting, to connect and focus on your relationship with God and kind of like reset yourself with discipline and structure mm-hmm. and praying and returning back. How often do you read the Quran?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, some verses.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Sometimes you just put it in the car and stuff.
Okay. So here, Sheer Motivation Podcast, as I've said before, I've had a lot of fun hanging out with you.
It's
been fun to just kind of have an idea of where you come from, the traditions, how they compare with where I come from and the traditions. And again, this podcast is all about promoting a way to motivate yourself through the work-life hustle. And I would love for you to leave me with something, first verse that comes to mind in the Quran for people who may be just struggling in the dating phase, the work-life balance, just something that just would just motivate them to a place of positivity. What comes to mind?
So there is one that comes to mind that says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So verily, after a hardship, there is relief.
Ah, okay.
So you can use this.
So say it one more time.
Anywhere. إِنَّ فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So verily, after hardship, there is relief.
Okay, I like that. I like that. And I will leave one in the book of Matthew. It says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So that is this week's episode. Again, it was Courtside Press, where we've got to have some interesting conversation. And this was always a pleasure. I appreciate your time. Before you go, thank you for watching and listening. Hit that like and subscribe button. And again, if you can't sit down and watch the whole episode, catch it on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. Come back and join us next week for another episode of Sheer Motivation Podcast.